Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All trick, no treat. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
The Parker County teenager who murdered his mother and sister pleaded guilty to the crimes and will be sent to prison. Jacob Evans called 911 after the murders and described himself as evil.
On October 3rd, 2012, Jake Evans killed his mother and 15-year-old sister inside their home in Aledo, Texas. And the cause? Rob Zombie's Halloween. Not the original Halloween, the remake of Halloween, the 2007. So we're going to be doing two murders that were inspired by the Halloween franchise.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It's, you know, you can get your scares if you get them safely, but it can't turn violent. I don't want it to turn violent.
And these, I found one case, and then I found another one, and I was like, whoa.
That's a lot.
So I was like, we're getting two for the price of zero, I guess. Oh, if your time is worth zero.
Your lucky day.
And if you are interested in supporting our Patreon, it's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Bonus episodes. Episodes with no ads. Mm-hmm. Bonus episodes.
None of this.
Other fun stuff.
Shameless promotion on the Patreon. It's hard because I love horror movies. And obviously we love haunted things and true crime things. But I think there's a particular part of me that my heart hurts the most when it's like this piece of, you know, like art or media or whatever, people take it too far. Like we talked about, you know, the Slender Man killings and all kinds of things that have unfortunate effects to like a piece of entertainment. And I think it's so frustrating to hear about that stuff because it's so far from what it was, its original intentions.
I mean, music would be the first thing that I think of. People that have claimed to have done things because a song told them to do it. And there's a lot of famous court cases, Suicide Solution.
Yeah.
And of course, video games.
Yeah, video games for sure. I mean, classically, Helter Skelter with the Manson murders. There's so many things. And again, it's like, don't stop making these things. But I think it's so frustrating because it speaks to the disconnect between making something and then the effects of it and how dark it can really get.
And if everyone was affected by every single movie or song or book, everyone would be doing those things. It'd be overwhelming. So, you know, I think it's fair not to place the blame on the art.
Yeah, no. That's not what I want to do. I mean, it's not no one's fault. It's really the fault of like a system and a lot of converging factors, very complicated and sad factors, I'm sure.
The story of Jake Evans, it's very recent. I found them both disturbing, but there's just more information that I found on this one. The way he describes and the way things were happening, he was all in real time. And he seemed to be both compelled to do it, and I'm assuming somewhat remorseful or had some sense of what he was doing, mm-hmm. that it was wrong, but for whatever reason had no control over doing it. He had a 4-page confession a day after the killings, and he said, "I started watching Rob Zombie's Halloween, and it was the third time that week that he watched it." I think it's fair to say that it wasn't like everything was hunky-dory.
Of course.
And then watched Halloween, the more recent one, 3 times, and he's like, "You know what? I've changed all my point of views about exactly. everything. My moral compass has completely shifted." And he didn't want people to think it had anything to do with it. So he actually hid the movie because he didn't want unfairly to blame this movie or maybe distract on his purpose. I don't know why, but he was actively thinking that they obviously found out and he mentioned it, but he also mentioned purposefully throwing it away.
Totally. Well, it just speaks to his level of sanity too and self-reflection that he was trying to hide that fact from being, a showcased thing in why he did this. And again, even the umbrella of this episode that we're doing right now is about the movie and the effects of the movie.
He also empathized with Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
His Michael Myers' lack of empathy. The character of Michael Myers has evolved and is kind of changed and warped over the years for those fans of the franchise or horror movie fans. But I guess it's fair to say you could make that assumption that he lacks empathy.
Yeah.
And he felt empathy with his lack of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, so therefore he's somewhat empathetic. So he doesn't really truly lack empathy.
Yeah. It's like he's almost watching himself through like a glass window and being like, "Oh, that's okay. That's not good for these people," but is disconnected from it. Is that what you mean?
I don't know. It's a very strange, mm-hmm. seems like a very aware case. It wasn't a case where he was like, "I did this. I had a blackout moment or I had a psychological reaction to something." I don't know. I can't really speak to a lot of that just based on the information I'm seeing. It seemed to happen slow enough where it was premeditated and was very lucid in what was going on. I'm sure there's other factors that maybe been established later on as he's, 17 at the time, kind of a weird time for anybody who's 17 or really any age.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting thing that his choice of omission and his lucidity and his empathetic viewpoint, all very interesting. And God, yeah, just being 17.
So that after he watched the movie, he put it back in the case and threw it in the trash can so that people wouldn't think that it influenced me in any way.
He put it back in the case.
Yeah, put it right on the top of the trash can pile. I don't know. I guess, but people must have, I don't know if people also found it or he just decided when he, wrote his confession that he included it in there, could have omitted that part. But I guess if he did, maybe wouldn't be talking about this right now, I guess. I mean, that's the only
– Yeah.
Only real difference. While his mother and sister were watching the presidential debate in 2012.
Oh my God, no.
So this kind of comes around.
Again, yeah.
As things do every 4 years.
Yes, they do.
And while they were watching that, he was kind of consumed with how he would murder his family. Then he grabbed a kitchen knife, like Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
But then he decided that it would be too painful for them. Like he had the mercy in his mind. He's like, "I'm going to get a gun instead because I feel like that would be more direct.
Yeah.
Less painful."
Yeah. It doesn't feel insane at all. It feels very calculated. And mercy. Yeah. Interesting details here.
So he comes out with a gun. His sister sees him. She kind of catches him in her peripheral, and he points it at her and thought he was joking. I don't know what their history with guns are or what, and if was a jokester or he had like a pretty chill personality.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe I would think the same thing. I don't know. I mean, if you're a house that maybe has guns or whatever their relationship with guns, I would be pretty much freaked out. I would be like, "Funny prank." I would be, don't do that. This is upsetting.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Hey, you're freaking me out." And he shot her in the back and then the head. And then he goes down and shoots his mom three times. And more on Halloween, he was amazed how easily, even as a kid, Michael Myers would murder. He began plotting on the morning of October 3rd. He was like, it was pretty much like that. I have to imagine, though, that it can't be the first time he thought about murdering his family. Or at least having some really dark thoughts.
Yeah, definitely.
The murders actually got cut short to what his initial plan was. He wanted to murder his whole family. He wanted to go to his grandparents' house.
Extended family, too.
And older sister.
Oh.
That weren't in the house. But at some point, he decided he was just like, I can't, you know, he couldn't do anymore. So he got this gun from his grandfather. He stole a handgun from his grandfather. Mm. I guess he didn't know it was missing, or maybe something. Maybe you have it, you know, in a lockbox and you have it away and you don't really know that
I guess,
it's missing.
He would have to know the whereabouts of that gun, though.
Sure.
So guns are being talked about in this family, which again is a comment on our gun culture and like how dangerous it can be.
It's in Texas, and not that everyone in Texas is
like gun upset.
Of course not. And there's plenty of responsible gun owners out there that have, but.
Sure.
There's people out there that are very responsible, but there's enough that are not responsible.
And you just don't know the people around you. That grandfather could have been the most responsible person ever, but his grandson got a hold of this gun, who was very troubled, and used it.
He just spent time walking around the house thinking about how his life would never be the same and how he would not see them again. He was almost thinking like, after this is the point of no return, and this will be the situation. When they talk about premeditated, I mean, this is as premeditated as it gets. There's really, I'm sure there's an urge factor and an instinct factor, and maybe the next day he would not want to do it. A lot of steps have to happen before this could happen.
And the fact that I assume this is during his confession, he's telling people that he was thinking about how his life would be without these people that he was about to kill. That's a lot. Those are a lot of steps and leaps and, you know, progressions in judgment.
And according to All That's Interesting, Evans writes that a fear of his own family were becoming the people that I hate drove him to commit the murders. He shot his sister as she exited the room, shot his mother who's in the den, and upon hearing noises from his sister who was not dead, he went back, shot her again after telling her that he was sorry.
Man, so that's the why. He fears that they're becoming somebody that he doesn't want them to be.
And before he could kill his grandparents and other two sisters, I think one had been back from college. He called 911 on himself, essentially, which shows some sort of empathy. I'm trying to find.
I mean, the sorries, the wanting to do it mercifully. It's like this split personality.
It could be
very confusing.
I'm not an expert, and
for sure,
like most people. But I'm sure that there's psychological issues. It's I don't know if they're checked or unchecked or diagnosed or undiagnosed, but they were. Definitely there.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of things we profile on this podcast, too, it's very like they plead insanity, or they have this like cold-blooded, you know, relationship to the killing that they do. This is not like that at all. This feels much softer and, again, much more complicated in that respect.
And it was a 20-minute 911 call. He described exactly what he did and partially why. He said he felt suffocated by them, and he had been planning to kill somebody for a while. And I mean, what's the closest? Who feels the most safe around you?
Yeah, definitely.
Who's going to be the least on guard is your own family.
Yeah.
And in 2015, he pled guilty and received 45 years, maybe because he was 17. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I saw one instance where it was 45 years for each, his mother and his sister, but then a lot of other things I read, 45 years in total. And maybe that's because of his age.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is some remorsefulness in there, but so at age 20, he was sentenced for 45 years. So he get out in good behavior, maybe.
Maybe.
Let's put down the candy and take a little break. But when we come back, Another Halloween-related murder.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Hello.
What's going on? This is a check-in.
Do you know what's going on?
Do you know what's
going on?
We don't know what's going on. We're in it. Not to win it. Just to survive it.
What's the opposite? To win it? To lose it?
No, I think the opposite would just be survive. I think it would just be to.
Baseline.
Yeah. Flatline.
I mean, we have fried chicken on the way.
We do have fried chicken. This is Rebecca's birthday fried chicken.
Happening in real time. You are here as we're waiting for it, so you're welcome.
We would be way more sluggish if.
Yeah, if we ate beforehand. Mercifully, Jason was like, let's eat after we record. So you're getting just my regular natural sluggishness, not the fried chicken sluggishness.
We'll say hello to our political leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They lead us into victory every single week.
Every time. I don't get canvassing texts about them because they are in office going strong.
Hello to the mayors, Brandon Gaddis, Jeanette Link,
mm-hmm.
Ben Forsyth,
mm-hmm.
Ashley Mattson.
Thank you.
And our one and only governor, holding the line.
Oh, baby.
Chris Witt. Christopher, what's some good, like, political middle name for him?
Andrew's
good, though, dignified. Too. Like Andrew Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric, I was going to say Wayne, but that's really more of a serial killer middle name. And we would never.
No.
We would never Wayne you. We're not going to Wayne you.
We would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for more Halloween based content,
mm-hmm.
you can go to link in the show notes or go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. Check out the Halloween filming locations. Mm-hmm. And if you have a YouTube channel, even if you don't really use it, but if you have one, subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Give it a thumbs up. Give any of the videos a thumbs up. It helps get the word out about
Halloween
Ghost Town.
Miracle.
And actually, there's another that's not on the video. Another Halloween location that I went to yesterday after I did some Back to the Future locations coming up. That's on our TikTok, which is Ghost Town Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Thank you to anyone who's done any Apple reviews, taking a couple more hits. So if you want to give us, and you haven't yet, a rate and review on Apple Podcast, please do it.
Please.
And somebody reached out and wanted to buy an autographed copy of the book.
Amazing.
Caitlin, thank you.
Caitlin.
You're very kind. We're going to be, I have the book right here.
It's right here.
My leaving
phone
until
is
we
resting
sign
on
it. And you will have it sometime this week. It might not be the time you're listening to this, but maybe.
It may be. Who knows? The postal system
is, you know, it's what it is. And
figure it out.
And that's the roll mm-hmm. of the dice for that. Today, when you're listening to this, we have mm-hmm. an event.
We do.
For Book Soup.
Yes.
So you go to booksoup.com. Mm-hmm. You'll find it. It's all there.
Exactly. If you're listening and this episode ends too short, sometime before 6 p.m. Pacific time, log on.
Check it out. Booksoup.com. It's an indie bookstore here in Los Angeles.
It's actually very, like, we did something for Skylight that's going to happen in the future for their podcast. But Booksoup is like the iconic kind of indie bookstore in LA.
They just had Rob Halford from Judas Priest did one. And then us.
Hi. can we?
We're headlining this.
Yeah, can we hang out here for a little bit?
Metal Fest.
I don't want to leave.
So how about another Halloween-based murder? From the original series. We're going to go back to 1981.
We started with the reboot murder, and now we're going to go back to the original murder. I think that's a good plan.
On December 7th, 1982, Richard Delmer Boyer was a handyman from El Monte, California.
Mm-hmm. Very close to where we are.
Stabbed Francis and Eileen Harbitz to death with a knife in their Fullerton home. And why he was in Fullerton from El Monte, which is like east of Pasadena, I'd say. Why he was down in Fullerton, why them? Not really sure.
Not sure.
But it's 1982.
Uh-huh.
And Halloween 2 came out in 1981.
Okay.
And the name of this case is unofficially the Halloween 2 murders. So the movie Halloween 2 is loosely connected and influenced this murder. But on the plus side, there's like 11 Halloween movies.
Yeah.
And more coming out.
The ratio is pretty good.
The ratio is pretty good.
Yeah. The murder quotient is low for this series of horror films.
He stabbed Francis 24 times and Eileen 19 times.
Mm-hmm.
So his defense is that he suffered from hallucinations brought on by the movie Halloween 2. The scene where Michael Myers murders an elderly couple.
Ugh.
And for some reason that resonated with him, I guess. Uh-huh. He told the jury that he watched the film under the influence of PCP, marijuana, alcohol. And there's a scene of Michael killing an elderly couple, and that was the inspiration. So that was all kind of happening at once. I have a feeling the PCP might have done the heavy lifting on what that did, and also what might have been going on in his mind and to PCP, who he was.
It's not – don't fuck around with it.
This one seems – if we're comparing it to the other one, seems a little more – premeditated, but a little more driven by something a little less personal and a little more drug induced and, you know, trying to money or trying to attain something. And this is the first time that a Hollywood movie was used as evidence in a case.
That must have been an interesting trial, too.
To be, you know, to watch this. Because, you know, the first Halloween came out in 1978, so it was relatively well known. But I think Halloween really started becoming popular as the years went on. And obviously people look back because when, you know, when it first came out, it was relative unknowns in the movie. And, and it was, you know, it's not like John Carpenter was necessarily a household name.
Yeah.
So even then, it was relatively a new-ish movie. And this was just the sequel to the first one.
And also just the parallels between the murder and that scene in the movie. I'm sure that was pretty compelling.
And I get they tried to, I guess, in his defense, say, do you see how this depicted in the movie could motivate someone like almost like a how-to in murdering? And especially, you know, with the a psychopharmacologist also was there to but what the effects of the drugs had plus the movie is a bad cocktail.
Not good. And not good.
Whatever history he may have had. And I think about 1981. I mean, that's also the Wonderland murders in 1981. There's just a lot of crime and the economy's pretty bad. I mean, it says about every year. But as soon as I hear like 1981, I'm like, this is was Reagan just got into office. Yeah. It's a very strange time in America and the world, and I always take a date and I put myself there and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like Strange Year. Plug.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The podcast Strange Year. I was thinking, I was like, do you mean Stranger Things? And I was like, no, that's different.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. No, I mean, early 80s were rough. They were rough. A lot of murdering happening and a lot of unchecked, honestly, like late 70s into early 80s. It was just a really tough time for America.
So the jury, they recognized there were some similarities to what they saw in this movie, but ultimately they found him guilty.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Solely guilty for his crimes, and he was sentenced to death. He's still on death row, or I don't know what the case is. Now he just has a life sentence. I don't know what the death penalty laws are right now. I don't want to say what.
We got enough things to think about right now.
Right, but he was sentenced to death. That doesn't mean, you know, you can be on death row for literally forever.
Yeah, definitely.
And some of the motivations that he didn't know them, why he was in Fullerton, no idea. I think a motive might have been money in a robbery, or maybe he was down there and then he saw the elderly couple and he made the connection, or he's lying. I mean, there's also that case too, but it sounds like that's a feasible thing. Of course, an elderly couple, statistically, there might be a lot less pushback.
So it's just like another like wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah. Like they were outside or like visible to him, or he had access to them in some way. Just like bad, bad timing.
If you're out there, if you know of any other movies that you can think of,
movies motivating murders
or crime in some way, I'm sure there's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's so many out there.
Yeah,
I feel especially like bank robbery. Mm-hmm. Bank robberies, there's, you know, then there's always some kind of copycat.
Totally.
This and that. And there's, you know, always music and you know, culture is.
It's reflective.
It seeps in how we take that culture and mm-hmm. you know, what we do with it is, I guess, up to the individual.
Totally.
But have a safe Halloween.
Have a safe Halloween. Please stay very safe, but spooky. Make sure it's spooky.
All right, you keep it spooky. Is like your, that's pretty much your
keep it spooky.
We're not doing that. That's don't try to get that started.
Spooky.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.